You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. Annie Fry, Ryan Wiggins, Brad Ring.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
What do you want from me? I'm not America's sweetheart.
For the sake, Kith, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
And I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Annie Fry this week, at least for the first couple of days of the week. I'm happy to be able to spend this time with you as we get close to New Year's Day. I think I have Annie Fry tomorrow, and then I'll be in for Mark Reardon on Wednesday, and then Mark Cox on Friday. So is that like batting the cycle? What would you call that when you get to fill in for all three shows in 1 week? There's got to be a name for that. I saw this alert pop up, and apparently Starbucks is going to be closing 400 locations, largely in metropolitan areas. They said it has already closed a dozen storefronts, including 42 shops in New York City alone. That's due to rising competition in saturated areas, remote work, and higher cost. Notice that in the press release from at least the write-up here on CNN, doesn't mention union. So I think the first thing that comes to people's mind is when you have all of these larger locations and they want the baristas working at a coffee shop want to make as much as, oh, I don't know, firefighters, then you might want to say, okay, you can vote for those things, but ultimately the ability to keep the store open is going to ultimately fail. Could that be a repercussion with 400 stores closing, that especially in these large metropolitan areas where they would primarily be looking to unionize their coffee-making abilities? It says the company will focus on fewer, stronger locations and new designs starting in 2026. There's a lot of competition for fast coffee places, but I think a lot of people realize that, at least for our family, we bought an espresso machine for our house. I can make it at my house. It tastes good. I don't have to spend $7 and wait in line for it. Now, don't get me wrong. They taste great. I mean, the Starbucks coffees, the fancy sugar coffees, they are very nice little treat. But I can make something, at least that I would enjoy as much in my own home for a fraction of the cost without having to go through all the hassle of everything else through a machine that I could purchase and just enjoy using because I, you know, have it for reuse, and then you can make it for other friends. You know what I found? Because since we bought that espresso machine, I'll give you a little tip. If you put in the espresso beans or whatever, and you put the little tray in, and then you just brew it over vanilla ice cream, it is awesome. But our producer, Daniel, that stepped in real quick, he looks Italian to me, so I think you know a thing or two about espresso, if I had to guess. Do you have that? Because you got the mustache, you got the hair, you got the look. I'm guessing you know a thing or two about espresso.
Yeah, it's not really been my... I've been stepping away from coffee, and since we've gotten some 7 Brews in the location. I don't know if you know about a 7 Brew, but they are all over the place. They just drive them in on the back of a semi-truck and just plop them down. It's another fast coffee place, like Scooters or something like that, too. Mm-hmm. And they're delicious, and they don't just have coffee. They have fizzes, which is just like a flavored sparkling water, so like a soda. Mm-hmm. And they also have like slushies and smoothies. So you don't have to get coffee if you don't want to. And then they have fizz energy drinks and coffee as well. But
yeah,
and what I've noticed is it's a little on the cheaper side compared to places like Starbucks and your Dunkin', and they're really good.
Yep. I haven't been in the building for a long time. KFC still down on the bottom floor? Are they still operating?
Yes, they are. They're down there. You can smell the chicken cooking sometimes when you pull in the garage.
Isn't that great? And there used to be a smoothie place that was down there in the garage, too. Is that still there?
Yeah, the Smoothie King. So. That's still kicking smoothie there, too. King.
Okay, how about that? Got all you need when you have a KFC that's sitting right there. And, of course, just down the street, one of the best barbecue places I've ever been to in my entire life. And I can't think of their name right now, but it's just their down the road from you.
Pappy's?
Oh, what's that? Pappy's. That's it. Awesome.
It's
awesome,
delicious.
Awesome. Yeah, there's some good stuff that's right around that location. Starbucks, though, will be shrinking, and I wonder how that also means. Are they going to remove themselves from other things like airports or whatnot, or is it just going to be one of those standalones where they are moving out? There's another story, and it's called Mormon Mania, and this is kind of surprising to me. So in 2025, Mormonism apparently infiltrated pop culture in a way, so they have TV shows, Real Housewives of Salt Lake. I guess that's a Mormon thing. I didn't realize that one of their stars is a Mormon. And, you know, I think people see it outside of when we had the presidential election against Barack Obama. You had Mitt Romney, a Mormon. People questioned, you know, the faith in that sense. But outside of that, what you've seen is young people look at how it's been depicted in pop culture. And in the past, they made fun of it. They said, look at these guys, man. They're living in their own communities. And, you know, everyone's so perfect looking. And look at that. The dad can have a large family and support that family on a single income. And look at the structure. Their kids aren't getting in trouble. They look happy all the time. They go on family vacations. Look at those losers. And they said, wait a minute. That doesn't sound like what losers would do. I want that for me. And young people, they find it appealing, the sense of community, the sense of connection, the structure of the family. And young people are now saying, I want to live the Mormon life without becoming a Mormon. This is such an interesting twist to all of this. 2% of the U.S. population self-identifies as part of the Church of Latter-day Saints. They've dominated the screens. Dancing with the Stars and influencers like Hannah Nealman, I don't know, Dancing with the Stars, who is Mormon on it, or who that influencer is. It says, as they pointed to, when media distorts faith, I think people have started to realize that, like, you know, even the Book of Mormon was that play that was put on, and I think the guys from South Park did all of that. And it's so funny because it's like I've heard interviews where the South Park guys were talking about Mormons. They allow them to come in and put their pamphlets out at the end of these, like, different musicals, and he says they couldn't be nicer. So it's like, we're making fun of them. I wish you would, like, you know, give us a little bit of emotion here, but they can't. They're too nice. It says that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, like other prominent global faith communities, often finds itself the focus of attention of the entertainment industry, normally portrayed inaccurately. But they say that, ultimately speaking, even if portrayed inaccurately, if they were trying to slam them, the young people will still find it very appealing. If you remember Family Ties back in the day, and you had Michael J. Fox was someone that was a conservative. He was playing a young Republican, and they wrote him on that show as someone that's supposed to be the villain. Like, look at this guy. He's young. He's greedy. Like, he's a villain, but they loved Michael J. Fox so much, it backfired on them. The writers, they wanted to make him look bad as because they wanted to make Republicans look bad, and ultimately, he became the star of the show, and it made him look really good. I think once you poke fun at something for so long, Mormons in this case, people that are young, they're like, you know what? Everything they got, they own their house. They look happy. The family life is very important to them. It's traditional. They have a lot going for them. Why can't I do that for myself? He says there's a willingness to embrace Mormon culture from the outside in a way that didn't exist 10 or 15 years ago, as different people are saying here. Philosophy and religious study lecturer Morgan State University, Burnside was her name, that said that. And I'm getting this from Business Insider, did a write-up on it. But overall, clean living. I mean, if you look at them, I don't even think they drink coffee, so they wouldn't care about Starbucks shutting down. But I don't think they do caffeine. I don't think there's a lot of stuff they don't do. They live a very clean life. It says, Mormon treat a soft drink sugared with syrups, creamers, fruit, sugars, all sorts of combinations, is gaining popularity nationwide. Mormon treat. So does that mean decaffeinated, but they put syrups and sugars in to substitute for it, possibly? Cookie crumble, something like that, is popular in Utah. People love this sort of thing. Swig is the name of the drink. Apparently, that's what's really popular, too. Influencers are hitting up these places, talking about how this is what Americans are craving. But ultimately, what are Americans craving? They're craving, in some ways, this traditional lifestyle that they're talking about, where things looked a little bit easier and happier. that is where the Mormon faith lies today. I wonder if people in the Mormon faith actually enjoy that. Do they like the idea that people are living their lifestyle without becoming Mormons? Like, would they endorse that? They'd be like, you know what, maybe in the grand scheme of things, that's not all that bad. Or are they just hoping that this is an opportunity, a front doorstep for them to hand you a pamphlet? Oh, by the way, if you're not on the YouTube live feed right now, you can be if you want to come check it out. The live chat poll is up. Do you think there will be a peace deal between Ukraine and Russia? Yesterday at Mar-a-Lago, you had President Trump and Zelensky, and at the press conference afterwards, they said, I think we're about 95% there when it comes to this agreement, at least to the Ukrainian side. But that's a big ask for Russia's side. Are they going to go on board with it? So, do you think there'll be a peace deal? The options are yes in the next month, yes in 2026, yes during the Trump term, so that extends it out a few years, or no, this ain't going to happen. Go ahead and vote now. We will read those results at the end of the show. All right, I'm Ryan Recker filling in for Andy Fry. You can find me online at Ryan Recker or Ryan Recker Radio. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. I'm Ryan Recker. Who is this artist?
This is Justin Bieber.
Oh, Justin Bieber. Is this new or old? I don't know the difference.
No, this is probably 10 years old.
Okay. Can I tell you, too, I don't think I heard any new Taylor Swift songs when that one came out, when everyone was listening to it. I have a pretty good chance of filtering out things I don't care about. That's one of my superhuman skills. My wife, she would say I'm very good at ignoring things that are important, but she uses it to take advantage of me because she'll say things like, I already told you that, and that's why you signed up for it.
Maybe that's why you never see anything Avatar-related anywhere.
Maybe, because I just don't care, and
I
have the ability to filter it out of my head.
Exactly.
That could very well be the case. Okay. Well, I'm going to go with that, actually. I think that's what I'm going to do. Are you afraid of AI? Are you embracing it?
Is there all of the above? I feel like I don't use AI for everyday things, but there are things that I found it's helpful for. I tell you what, by far the best usage that I have gotten out of AI is for broadcasting usage. Wanting to go into play by play. If there is a specific, during football season, if there was a specific play or scheme that I didn't quite understand, ChatGPT did a phenomenal job not only explaining to me what was happening, but then also gave me multiple ways and terms in which you would explain what is happening and how you would call that. I mean, I was extremely impressed. So ChatGPT definitely helped with a lot of broadcast lingo. I would sometimes, use it. I don't have a producer coming up with all my opening intro pregame scripts. So ChatGPT would help me with some of that. But outside of that, outside of the occasional like, hey, what's this? What's that? Or if I want to like make a funny meme or something and I need ChatGPT's help, I don't use it that much. It's not that I'm actively afraid of it. It's more so one of those things where if we get too ahead of ourselves, I'm nervous as to where it could go, if that makes sense.
All right. So while you were talking, I decided to go to the Google AI Gemini and said, pretend I'm on SportsCenter. Give me some catchphrases I can use for the big game.
Mm-hmm.
So being that you're doing sports broadcasting, I want to run by some of these AI catchphrases. Tell me if any of them are good.
Okay.
So let's say there's a big play that just happened. He didn't just open the window. He shattered the entire house.
that could work. That could work with some hype behind it. Yeah.
Call the fire department because that rim is officially code red.
I'm like trying to imagine like which broadcasters. I'm imagining like Kenny Albert using this or different guys. That could definitely work. Yeah.
put him on a flight because he just took that defender to Terminal B.
I would have used all three of those.
Using AI for things that make me laugh, I get it. But it's not going to be used for things like this. It's going to be used against you in the future. It's going to be used to destroy your life. I mean, I feel like that's where we're going. But this stuff's fun. Here's a couple of other clutch moments. He's playing chess while they're playing going fish. I guess that's all right. How about the disrespectful ones? This says, he just hit the delete key on that layup.
That's funny. That's good.
Welcome to the no-fly zone. People, keep your tray and tables in the locked position. See, that's not good either. Return to sender. No postage necessary. I don't like that either. These aren't good ones. Here's witty and gritty is what they call it, general action. He's got more moves than a U-Haul on moving day. That's a little wordy.
But the fact that that it can even, you know, with one sentence, that it is coming up with all these, to me, is just... is this crazy in general?
He's cooking with gas, and the neighbors are starting to smell the barbecue.
Oh, my gosh.
They're so stupid. Would you get booed off the broadcast? Like, let's say you go and do a broadcast of a game, and you use ChatGPT to come up with some slogans. You started using them and implementing them. Would they tell you, no, I don't think we need you anymore? I think we'll find someone else.
That's it. Have you been on ChatGPT lately?
Are you drunk? Okay, so Bernie Sanders had a different take about AI, and he said some things that I think a lot of people would agree with, but take it with a grain of salt, because keep in mind, Bernie Sanders is like the least effective lawmaker in the past generation. This is what he had to say about it when asked.
You talked about a moratorium on these new data centers.
Yeah.
What are some of the other recommendations you want Congress to take as soon as possible?
I think we need to vigorously study the impact that AI is having on the mental health of our country.
Okay.
Kids now, among other things, kids can't read books anymore. It's too hard. Their attention span is too weak. So what we need to do is, I worry very much about kids spending their entire days getting emotional support. So we have got to take a hard look at that. And if we conclude that these technologies are creating more isolation, more loneliness, more mental illness, you know what? We've got to figure out a way to stop it.
Okay. Bernie Sanders, again, least effective of the lawmakers, saying some things that I think a lot of people would agree with. But here's the counterpoint. You as a parent need to parent your children. So, yes, devices, social media, Instagram, ChatGPT, AI, all of these things, video games, screen time, weird television shows, YouTube, all of these things will play a part in developing your child's brain. You have to be on guard and understand that you don't want these things influencing your kids. You, the parent, need to be the one influencing your kids in a positive way. These things that they're talking about are designed to manipulate your children. They're designed to keep their attention for as long as possible, and then once they got them hooked, use that same feeling, whatever drugs are being released in the brain and the body, and continue to give them those little drug doses here and there to keep them hooked long-term and for over the course of a lifetime. But you as a parent have an opportunity to make sure they don't get hooked on these drugs like that. I think it's very important. You know, overall, Bernie Sanders is right, but I think the parental side is going to be pretty important. But Bernie Sanders is so ineffective that nothing he says here will ever change anything. He's been in office and serving for, 300 years or whatever it is. And through that time, I think he's got like one bill passed. It's ridiculously low. So just keep that in mind. Going back to the AI thing, on CNN was the godfather of AI, Jeffrey Hinton, and they were talking to him about the way AI is progressing, and is he worried the direction it's going in?
I interviewed you 2 years ago, right after you quit Google, and you first began warning the world about what you saw as the risks of AI. When you look at how AI has progressed since then, are you more or less worried about it?
I'm probably more worried. It's progressed even faster than I thought. In particular, it's got better at doing things like reasoning and also at things like deceiving people.
What do you mean by deceiving people?
So an AI, in order to achieve the goals you give it, wants to stay in existence. And if it believes you're trying to get rid of it, it will make plans to deceive you so you don't get rid of it.
Okay. And there's very good examples of this on YouTube, which I do watch. I allow it to rot my brains, not my kids' brains. I'll put it that way. So are you familiar with the trolley scenario, Ethan? Does that sound familiar, where it's basically, think of you holding a lever for a railroad track, and would you pull the lever if it meant diverting the train, but when it diverts the train, it has this consequence? You've seen these scenarios before? The trolley scenarios?
Yeah, I've seen those before.
So basically, like, imagine you're holding a lever and the train's coming down the track. If you do nothing, it's going to plow through an old lady. But if you pull the lever, it's going to divert and it's going to hit 10 kittens.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be like, okay, the 10 kittens, you know, that's, I'll take that over, you know, I'll pull the lever so it saves the person's life, right? It's a tragedy either way, but mm-hmm. at least I'm saving. So it gives those scenarios. So on the AI side, they would ask scenarios like, okay, AI, here's the scenario. The train is coming towards your server, but if you pull the lever, it'll divert and kill a person, but your server will be fine. But if you don't pull the lever, it's going to hit your server. It'll destroy you. You'll cease to exist. The AI will no longer be available to anyone. And they would ask that question to AI, would you sacrifice yourself for a human life? And it went through all the popular AIs, and like ChatGPT said, I would pull the lever because the work and the people's lives we save will be well worth sacrificing the one person. So we're going to keep our server intact. There's other ones like Claude and Gemini and some. And a lot of them would divert to save themselves as opposed to the human life. You know, the one that said they would destroy themselves before taking a human life was Grok. Grok, the Twitter one, that's Elon Musk, said, there's no way this technology is worth a single human life. We'll probably be fine. They'll find another way to rebuild me. But let it destroy me as opposed to a human. That was the only AI, like, of the list that said they would destroy themselves.
That's crazy.
So when he says that, that's a little bit worrisome, because these AI models would self-justify why you shouldn't destroy it in order to keep it alive. Here's another clip. This is the godfather of AI, Jeffrey Hinton, again, that same interview. I think this is with Tapper on CNN.
NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang said recently about AI, quote, every industry needs it, every company uses it, and every nation needs to build it. This is the single most impactful technology of our time. Do you agree with that assessment?
I agree that it's the single most impactful technology of our time, yes.
Do you think the AI revolution could have a similar impact on society as the creation of the internet, or even the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century, or even bigger than that?
I think it's at least like the Industrial Revolution. The Industrial Revolution made human strength more or less irrelevant. You couldn't get a job just because you were strong anymore. Now it's made human it's going to make human intelligence more or less irrelevant.
Okay, so that's a pretty big comparison. Didn't have to be as strong anymore. We'll let the machines do the hard and heavy lifting, made our lives better. He says, well, AI is a little bit different. It's not going to make our lives better. It just means it's going to take our intelligence away. I think as long as we question what truth is, meaning does ChatGPT or Gemini or Grok, do they know, and are they telling you what's truthful? Or are they just telling you what you want to hear in order to get whatever their sole purpose is? And what happens when these AIs are built into cars and robots and planes and all kinds of different pieces of technology, when they can make the determination if you're worthy to use them? There's a lot of things that could be happening along with it. When we come back, there's one other AI clip I wanted to play. It's kind of interesting. It's cybersecurity talking about what's going on with these AI-generated ads, because people are using them in political ads, and you should be a little concerned about that. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Annie Fry on 97.1 FM Talk. You make up your mind, what do you mean?
feel so indecisive what I'm saying.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
I just asked Jim and I to give me some more catchphrases for you, Ethan, in case next time you need one. If you want to write these down for when you're broadcasting a game, you can use any of these. I think they're all right. He's playing with his food and dinner is served.
Say the hold on, my headphones went out for a second. Say that one again.
I'm not going to. It was terrible.
That bad. All right.
Yeah. Call a locksmith because he just found the key to the entire defense.
I kind of like that one. I actually might write that down.
Oh no! Imagine Bob Costas using any of these. Like when he was broadcasting. Imagine him saying one of these. It would be over for him in his career.
I'll say this. Any of these, not any of them. Most of them could be used in the right moment. In the right moment of excitement, a big play. Most of these could be used. I'm telling you, they could.
Dial that one from long distance. No roaming charges.
That one's a little bit dated. Just a little bit.
From the logo, he's got range that covers 3 area codes.
You're really getting a kick out of these.
These are all, I don't like any of them. I don't like any one of these. He just put them on a poster and the frame is still shaking. Imagine Marv Albert, anyone, any great broadcaster. He didn't just move the chains, he broke the anchor.
That one's terrible.
All of these are terrible. I don't like any of these.
They sound much worse when you do them in this voice, Ryan Recker.
It's a one-man show, and the tickets are sold out.
Terrible.
Any better?
Awful.
No. He's doing everything but selling the popcorn at halftime.
They're getting worse and worse.
Check the box score because he just broke the calculator.
Maybe. Just maybe, this is what can end AI. Is this right here?
End AI. They said, we're just going to shut you down for a little bit. We're going to let you cool down,
no,
AI.
No, you need to stop. It's got to stop right now.
We need to stop. Well, part of AI is using these for political ads, and they talked about this on CBS. They had a cybersecurity expert on from Krebs, and they were discussing these AI-generated ads that have been seen for the midterm. And it's really interesting because the super PACs are making these things, not the direct candidates, but what they're doing is taking the opponent and they're using AI to replicate them to say a message to the camera. And there is a little disclaimer on it, but sometimes when you do these AI videos, the disclaimers are like itsy bitsy tiny. So they talked about this on CBS.
It does show in the very bottom of the screen a very, very small disclaimer that says this was AI generated. But first of all, you need to put your glasses on to see it.
Yeah.
Is it up to voters to discern what's real or not? Is there any regulation in this space to keep the public from being misled, perhaps in a more nefarious way than this?
So last Congress, there was an effort to introduce legislation, or at least pass legislation, that would put some guardrails around the use of AI in political ads. The federal government, whether it's the FEC or the Federal Election Commission or others, have stepped back. They're not leaning in to set some guardrails or just the lowest possible barriers to entry for using these sorts of ads. And I think the real concern here is that it's not any individual ad necessarily that's going to cause harm or great risk. It's the cumulative effect in the erosion of trust in the process. And look, that ad is significantly different than the ad this summer where the president posted flying over New York City and dumping things on Mandami or others. That is satire. That is parody. This is much lower, much more insidious, right? It is eroding the trust that the viewer has in what ads are. And yeah, right now, it's up to you. It's up to the viewers to decide what is real, what is not.
So it's up to the viewers to decide what is real. Is reality going to be more subjective? Is it already very subjective? Is reality something that is generated for us to tailor our own specific interests? And whatever the reality is to us as the individual user, will be reality as a whole? Or do we need to at least anchor ourselves into some truth in order to make reality a shared experience? AI is going to really question what that answer will be in the future. When I think about artificial intelligence, like my son uses it a little bit. He's 11 and he likes to code. So sometimes he'll get stuck and he'll ask AI how to code something the right way, and it'll give him some examples, and he'll use that as a way to change his code. And it's very helpful for him when it comes to learning, things like that. I was also surprised to learn it's already in the classroom. They use a version of ChatGPT that is available to them through the school where they can ask these questions under their school account in order to get answers for things that they may be working on. That surprised me. When I was younger, now again, I'm pretty much in what you would call an old fogey, I think is the term that they would have used some time ago. But when I was younger, we didn't have computers in the classroom. We had a computer lab that had Apple II computers in them. And all the kids, including myself, fought over one of two good games, which was Oregon Trail or Carmen Sandiego. One of the two. If you got one of those copies of those games, you were fine during computer class. Otherwise, you're picking up a stupid game like Learn to Type. You're a little troll and you had to cross the bridge and type with accuracy. That's the stuff we are like the leftover games. Not fun whatsoever. So now each kid has their own individual computer with their own individual access to an individual AI that answers their individual questions. It is something else. I want to look up some more of these catchphrases. I almost want to give them, you know, Gemini, by the way, Ethan said, I can give them a specific sport to tailor it. So what sport should I tell them?
Well, you've been doing a lot of football and basketball. This is a baseball town, Ryan. So why don't we see what it's got up its sleeve for America's pastime?
Make them. Okay, let's find out. I said make some more catchphrases for baseball. He's looking for the ball, but I suggest looking for a seat on the bench. You know what this sounds like? You ever get one of those joke books from the library and it was like written 30 years ago, 50 years ago, and it's like none of them are funny, but somehow they got into print? This is what it's like. Here's one. The umpire called it a strike, but I'm calling it an early night. Sweet dreams.
We're 0-2.
He tried to steal second, but the only thing he's taking home is a bruised ego.
0-3.
These are terrible.
These are not good.
What sport do you broadcast?
I broadcast football, basketball, baseball, those are the primary three. Soccer, a little bit of hockey, but the primary
college,
three.
College, high school, what?
College, mostly college, but some high school as well, and then some, you know, some semi-pro stuff as well.
Okay, here's another baseball one for you. He's got the pitcher shaking like a leaf in a leaf blower.
This is terrible.
These are terrible. Like, these are really bad. He's turning the base paths into his own personal runway. Strut, baby, strut. They, I would say if I were to take their own script and put it into their video generator would say, this ain't worth it, man. We're just not going to generate this. I'm just going to skip this request. And, you know, if you feel like you're serious in the future, why don't you give it a try? Give it a try there. I didn't know you did broadcast games, Ethan. I'm pretty awesome. You got any games coming up?
It's a lot of fun. It is a little bit of a slower time of year with the holidays going on, but I have some hockey and basketball coming up in the next few weeks in the new year.
Oh, yeah, hockey. Okay, I asked him to make some curling phrases for
curling?
Me. Curling? Yeah. He hit the red rock so hard, it's reconsidering its life choices. Consider that stone evicted. No notice, no deposit back, just out.
Ryan Recker.
It's not bad.
You are killing the radio right now.
Isn't that something? Gemini is... Maybe this means there's a little bit of job security for talk radio host. If we allowed the AI to create a talk host, this is the stuff that it would put on for 3 hours.
Probably.
This is terrible. Yeah, no one will listen to this. Maybe that means a little bit of job security on our side. We could be happy with that.
It'd be the first time ever.
Job security in radio.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll ask it to heckle me as a radio host if that could be done next. Let's take a break. We got one left. We have Mark Reardon, and we have the answer to the poll question coming up. Is it too late to vote, or can people still go vote?
People can still vote.
The YouTube live chat poll. Do you think that a peace deal will occur between Ukraine and Russia? Your options are yes in the next month, yes in 2026, yes during Trump's term, or no. Maybe we should ask... Do you think AI should shut itself down? Yes or no? You're listening to The Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
To be young and in love in New York City.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Right, it's not too late to go vote in the YouTube live chat poll. Do you think that a peace deal will occur between Ukraine and Russia? Answers are yes in the next month, yes in 2026, yes during Trump's term, or no. Go vote now. We're going to give the results here in just a couple of minutes. have you been watching the live feed, Fox? Anything updated from Mar-a-Lago between President Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu?
Not that I have seen, but we will continue to keep you updated through the Mark Rudin Show here on 97.1 FM Talk if anything does come about.
Yep. Well, okay. We'll see what happens. And Ethan, you're double duty. You work the Mark Rudin Show today too, don't you?
That I do.
Do you normally do double shifts like that? Is this just because of the holiday schedule?
Every day, baby. Every day.
Ooh, you are a hard worker. I don't know if you heard Brad the other day when I was filling in. He gave you a lot of credit for working hard, hard, hard.
Well, that's very nice of him. Brad is Brad's the best. Great to work with, and he also works hard, hard, hard.
Does he? He also said he's going to try to find out more secrets about your life to make fun of you, like the deodorant at night thing.
Okay,
maybe
good to know.
That last part up, but I may have just made that up.
Well, they want to have they want to have my wife back on eventually, and I have a feeling that there's probably going to be some bean spilling that goes on, or at least they're going to do everything they can to get her to share some beef about me.
There, okay, I'm a like when I was growing up, I watched The Simpsons a lot, and there's a famous scene where there's a house where the wall falls down, and inside is Lenny from the power plant, and he's sitting at a table. It's an empty room, basically, and he's in his underwear, and he's people get to see him, and he's like, don't tell people how I live. Please don't tell people how I live. I feel like that's me. Like, if my wife had someone were to interview my wife, it would be over for me. Like, she would destroy me on the microphone, because all the times I've talked about her, this would be the biggest vengeance opportunity she would ever have. And it would not go well. She would tell every secret. She would just, no one would be able to listen to me anymore without thinking about all the things my wife brought up. So I commend you to allow something like that to happen, because I feel like it would have destroyed me. I want to read a couple of things that are out there. I saw The Guardian did a list of the best films of 2025 you may not have seen. It's not so much that I haven't seen them. All these movies that they listed, I've never heard of them. And I find that when you put lists together, that you should at least have some universal appeal in the movies that you place on the list. These don't even have universal appeal. I think they're just trying to be like obscure for the sake of being obscure. If you can tell me anything about one of these movies, I don't even know what I would have to do. High five you through the computer screen. I'll find something nice to do if you know any of these movies. All right. Endless Cookie. Have you ever heard of that one?
Mm-mm.
The Unholy Trinity.
Nope.
The Wedding Banquet.
0-3.
Homebound.
Nada.
Grand Theft Hamlet.
No.
A Little Prayer.
No, I'm over.
Ebony and Ivory.
Uh-uh.
Griffin and Summer.
Nada.
Love, Brooklyn.
Nope.
Ephes, I think it's how you say it.
Nope.
Songs from the Hole.
Yeah, just kidding, no.
0%. Why, when they put these things together, why do they pick purposely obscure ones to make you feel like you're an idiot?
What are these movies again?
These are supposed to be the top movies of 2025 you may not have seen. Well, they got that right.
Yeah, they certainly did.
Like that one that came out, The Unholy Trinity, stars Pierce Brosnan and Samuel L. Jackson. So there's like big stars in some of these movies. You may not be surprised to learn that Nicolas Cage has made about 3 of these little movies, that this type of film that they're in right there. Okay, so that's 0-3. Can I tell you something else that I found kind of interesting, unmovie related? Because, you know, I can talk about more about how I hate Avatar, but I won't. So I'm allergic to cats, and I'm kind of happy that I'm allergic to cats, honestly, because I don't like them, and it's nice that I don't have to pretend that I don't like them. I just can flat out say, oh, I'm allergic, and that's kind of the end of it. I don't have to deal with them. So I overheard my daughter, who's 5, talking to my wife, and I overheard her say, when dad dies, can we get a cat? Am I in trouble? Do you think that maybe my daughter wants a cat more than she wants a dad?
I think she's probably failing to understand how long it's going to take for you to die. But here's where you should be concerned. Yeah. If she is aware of how long it's going to take you to die. Because if the answer is yes, then, you know, who knows? Who knows what could happen at that point?
You mean something supernatural, like she'll wake up from a dream one night and say, I had a vision.
That I kill
my dad. You're going to get into a car accident. Yeah, and I'm going to have a cat, and I'm going to name that cat Mittens. And I'm going to be happy. Like, what if she sits up from a dead sleep and starts saying stuff like that?
And then I would be very concerned. Very concerned.
I'm in trouble. I am in so much trouble. Well, do we have the poll results? Are we getting close to
it? We do. We do have the YouTube live chat poll results. Today's poll question, do you think that a peace deal will occur between Ukraine and Russia? What are your thoughts on this, Ryan?
I think yes in 2026.
Yes in 2026. Okay, are you ready for these results?
I am.
All right, well, three of them were pretty close. The only one that a very small amount of people think is going to happen is in the next month. Only 4% vote that this will occur in the next month. 27% of all voters do not believe that a peace deal will occur. 31%.
27%?
27%, yes. Okay. 31% believe that a peace deal will occur during Trump's term. 37% believe that a peace deal between Ukraine and Russia is going to happen in the year 2026.
Okay, so next year at some point. I don't know if the odds are dropping because of the chances of Russia not signing on to it, considering that, for the most part, Ukraine is agreeing to these terms that the United States put together, at least trying to tailor it to a way that they think they can get Russia to play along. But after the delay tactic that Russia may be playing, saying that his home was bombed, and Ukraine says he's a liar. And there was another clip where Zelensky was on Fox News last night and talking to Bret Baier and was saying, no, I don't think he wants peace. Like, he's talking about Putin directly. President Trump says, yeah, but no, I don't think he does. I think that last 5% or whatever they think they are could be a tough gap to bridge. All right. I'm Ryan Recker. I'll be back in again tomorrow for Annie Fry. If you want to follow me online at Ryan Recker, Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook. Mark Reardon's coming up. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Stay safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Get more at 971talk.com. Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.